It's never good news, but these job cuts could have been worse.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. When there's word that private employers cut 473,000 American jobs in June, you normally wouldn't expect to see the Dow climbing, but this may help explain why. Today's report from the employer services firm ADP actually reflects a slowdown in the job cutting, and that's apparently good enough for Wall Street. Wall Street's choosing to focus on the positive. The Dow is up 98 points at this hour, a little better than 1%. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 also higher by similar margins. We're seeing some other not-as-bad-as-it-could-have-been news this morning. A much-watched industry report shows more deterioration in the nation's manufacturing activity, but less than expected and at the slowest pace since last August. And then there are some housing numbers that could be read as the glass being half empty or half full. Joining us to talk about those is economics professor Ed Lehmer, who heads UCLA's Anderson Forecast. Glad to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
We've got kind of a mixed bag here this morning. We've got the National Association of Realtors reporting that pending home sales rose in May for the fourth straight month. On the other hand, we also had word that U.S. mortgage applications plunged to a seven-month low last week. Which should we pay more attention to?
I think we want to focus on the home sales. The mortgage applications, to a large extent, are being driven by refinancing, and that has some implications, particularly for people who are struggling to service their debt and need to refinance. But the critical thing is to get the buyers back in the marketplace.
So you think there needs to be more of an incentive? Perhaps the government needs to step in and do more?
Yeah, I think there's a significant incentive put in place, but it's not big enough. I would rather have a larger incentive. After all, the normal recovery out of these recessions begins with homes and, secondly, automobiles. Those are the critical sectors, and they're both very fragile now. A little bit more help from the federal government could very well pay off big time.
But you're encouraged by this word from the realtors that pending home sales are up again?
Yeah, sales are up and prices are stabilizing. It definitely feels like we're hitting a bottom for the housing market, likely to turn around sometime soon. The rest of the year isn't likely to be extremely strong, but at least we're not continuing to collapse.
Ed Lehmer is an economics professor at UCLA and the director of the UCLA Anderson Forecast. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
For decades, U.S. cities have lost residents to the outlying suburbs, but according to census data out today, the trend is reversing. And the economy may have something to do with it, from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
The numbers speak for themselves. Last year, Los Angeles posted its largest increase in residents since 2002. New York, the second biggest this decade. Chicago grew by nearly 1% after 5 years of declines. Some say it's a reflection of how deeply the economy has limited people's ability to move. But Carol Coletta with the Urban Leader Network CEOs for Cities says the shift is more profound. She says cities have become more family-friendly in recent years. And in a down economy, Coletta says urban living can have economic benefits as well.
No one's quite certain they're going to have a job next week. And being in a city generally delivers more access to more opportunity.
Smaller cities like Minneapolis and Columbus, Ohio, also posted population gains. On the flip side, cities like Las Vegas, that depended on housing construction for their growth, saw steep declines. And suburbs near major cities posted their lowest growth in the past decade. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Back when the economy was booming, all kinds of lenders were pushing all kinds of plastic. Today, not so much. These days, we see declined applications, interest rate hikes, and credit line reductions. So why, and most importantly, how do they do it? It seems the card companies are doing a lot of data profiling these days. Where we live, where we shop, and what we buy. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith reports.
When Kevin Johnson got back from his honeymoon in Jamaica last October, he had a letter from American Express. It seems that honeymoon was over, too. Amex was slashing Johnson's credit limit by 60%. Not because he'd missed a payment or had bad credit. The letter said,
"Other customers who have used their card at establishments where you recently shopped have a poor repayment history with American Express."
Amex didn't like where Johnson was shopping.
"When I reached out to American Express, I couldn't get a clear answer. That's how the journey began."
Johnson started a website called newcreditrules.com. Consumers compare notes online to figure out why their credit got cut. Johnson thinks he got nailed for shopping at Walmart. Amex denies that, but says it does track how customers use their cards. All of the card companies do it. It's called data mining. Robert Grossman is the director of the National Center for Data Mining.
Data mining uses data to make predictions, oftentimes about what people will do, what will happen, etc.
Grossman says the companies use intricate behavior models.
If you have traditionally shopped at a particular type of store for the last 20 years, and you're suddenly there's a huge change in your behavior, there's probably a reason.
Other behaviors card companies may see as warning signs: using your card at a bar, to get your tires retreaded, getting a cash advance. Card companies also buy information on other parts of your financial life. One of the biggest data sellers is Equifax. Tom Madison manages mortgage services for the company.
"Lately, the demand for that data has grown considerably. It is now becoming an extremely hot commodity."
Madison says banks want more information and fresher information than ever. Business is up 50% over last year. Meanwhile, visitors to Kevin Johnson's site claim they've gotten their credit cut for using their cards at places like Quiznos, Exxon, and McDonald's. His advice?
Watch where you shop and what you purchase. And if you're in doubt, use cash.
I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
You can read the letter that Kevin Johnson received on our website, marketplace.org. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.